We found that imitating the process of nature and life, you know, as William McDonough from Cradle to Cradle, he says, life itself, it's eternal upcycling.
Welcome to Conscious Chatter, where what we wear matters. I'm Kestrel Jenkins, your host and in-house conscious fashion freak. I'm constantly searching for the newest, most innovative textile manufacturers. I want to know who is really closing the loop, who's taking creativity to a brand new level, and who's finding ways to really use resources we already have to make beautiful fabrics. Let's be honest, it's become a bit of an obsession lately, as I've been working on building out a project of my own with my co-founder called Left At It. Through the sourcing process, it's been challenging to find materials we like the look of, the feel, and the quality of, but that also have a bomb.com story behind them. This week's guest happens to be a golden needle in the fabric supplier haystack. Ariane Engelberg is the creative director of the New Denim Project, an innovative product line out of Iris Textiles in Guatemala. The fabrics and products are made from upcycled pre-consumer denim waste. Ariane, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Kestrel. Thank you so much for having me. It's really a huge honor to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to talk to you. Well, to begin, I'd love to hear more of your personal story. I'm always one to want to understand kind of how people got to where they are and what they're up to. So you come from a family of textile manufacturers, right?
Right, correct. Both my grandparents were in the textile business. So from a very early age, I was already surrounded by yarn and fabric and this textile industry, which was fascinating to me. But I never thought I would follow both my grandparents' footprints. But here I am.
Yeah. When you were younger, what did you want to do?
Well, I was born and raised in Guatemala City. I was always very interested in photography, art, advertising, and my background is actually in these areas. I studied journalism, arts, and communications, specializing in advertising. But slowly life basically guided me into this industry. And now it's, you know, all my creativity goes into how we can change the production of textiles and how I can shift, you know, the textile mill that my grandfather founded back in the 50s, and later my father followed, and now I work together with my father. So basically it's a third generation family business. It has a lot of history, a lot of love. It's a basically a big family. So all the backgrounds I had in art and photography and advertising and journalism, I've managed to shift all this knowledge into textiles, basically. And after 10 years of studying abroad, I decided to come back home and help out my dad with the factory, because it was in basically like an all-time low. And we started finding these opportunities to do something different, and just the idea of building something from scratch really was super exciting to me. And I think I came into the business right at a moment where change was needed and it was beginning to happen. So it just felt very exciting and it felt right. And I just felt from the very beginning that we were gonna be creating something much bigger than just new fabrics.
Wow, that's amazing. So when it comes to thinking about creating textiles in more of an innovative way, was there something that really kind of sparked your interest or an experience that led you to realize that there was an opportunity in that direction?
Yeah, definitely. Because at the time I came into the factory, I noticed that the main problem was that our traditional products were no longer competitive in the market, nor our fabrics. They weren't cheap enough, they weren't fast enough. And so I think it was late in the 90s where my father, as a textile engineer, he started looking at ways to produce more efficiently so that we could compete. And basically, the factory turned into this expert upcyclers, basically by mistake, by necessity. And so when I came in and I started getting involved in the production process, I noticed that most of our fabrics were made from cotton waste from other spinning facilities. And I thought this was fascinating, and I thought this is the future. This is what we have to communicate to people. And maybe the local market doesn't appreciate it, because I think in Guatemala, we're a little bit behind in this mentality where, you know, recycled materials can be equal of quality or even better than ones made from virgin resources. So I thought, okay, if the local market doesn't accept these products, let's go international and let's incorporate more design, you know, let's modernize our designs, basically. And this was how it started. And then an opportunity presented to us when a friend of my father, who worked at a denim mill in Guatemala, he called us and he said, listen, we have all this waste from the cut and sew of jeans, and we don't know what to do with it. Can you use it? And so we accepted it. And we were about a year and a half, 2 years in trials with these scraps. And we finally managed to spin this waste back into thread and to develop new fabrics. But the special thing about our development is we do not use any synthetic fiber to spin this fiber. So it's 100% natural, and we managed to reach up to 80% upcycled denim in the mix and 20 virgin cotton fiber. So it's a very high percentage compared to others in the industry. And so we were very proud of ourselves for reaching this quality. And yeah, we definitely, we're just excited to introduce it to the market. And it has truly been a fascinating process, and the response has been amazing. And we found so many partners that, you know, share our same vision and values, that hopefully we can all together lead the way to a sustainable and ethical production in the industry.
Absolutely. Well, that to me is so incredible that you're 100% textile waste is being recreated into your new fibers. And I feel like so often people tell me, they have to add virgin cotton or they have to add virgin materials into the mix to actually produce the upcycled textile. So are they telling me that just because they need to because of their composition, or why would you think that that would be something that I would hear so often?
Yeah, I think for most fibers that you upcycle, it's when you break down this waste, the fiber you're left with is very short. So to make fine yarns, you need to mix it with virgin material. The thing is, if the yarn is not so fine and it's a thicker yarn, and depends the use of it, but our thicker yarns, for example, can be made 100% of recycled material, but the finer the yarn, the more virgin material it needs because of the length of the fiber. So it's definitely something that you need to incorporate. Hopefully in the future, you know, everyone will manage to upcycle these fibers and there will be a new technology or a new effort in which we can create, you know, the finest yarns without using any virgin resources. But at the moment, it's very common to mix the recycled fiber with a virgin. The thing is, most people only use up to maybe a 20% recycled and then 80% virgin. And then they mix also with virgin polyester. So this is a very easy process. The difficulty would be to use the maximum of recycled fiber possible. And for us, it's just a matter of trial and error and putting extra time and effort into finding the best way to do it.
Yeah, taking the time and figuring out the details.
Yeah, definitely.
So can you share more of, you kind of mentioned a bit, but can you share more of where the pre-consumer denim waste is coming from? You mentioned your dad's friend. So is it basically scraps from other denim factories in Guatemala, or?
Yeah. So basically at the moment, we're only using denim waste from mills in Guatemala, because surprisingly, Guatemala is the third largest denim producer in America after Mexico and Dominican Republic. So there is a lot of denim waste going around here, as well as other textile waste, but we decided to specialize in denim because there's so much of it. Yeah, also Guatemala, its biggest export product is textiles. So more than banana, sugar, and coffee, Guatemala is exporting textiles and garments, most to the US. And so we haven't had to look anywhere else for scraps, which says a lot, you know, of the excess of fabric in the industry. We recently began upcycling other textiles, such as knit scraps and fiber from secondhand clothing that's imported from the US. So our goal is to turn the factory into a, you know, this upcycling extraordinaire where we don't have to use any virgin material and just have our main raw material be all the scraps and the waste from the fashion and textile industry.
Yeah, it's amazing. So have you seen, you've kind of been along for this ride for a bit, have you seen the demand and the interest in materials like what you're developing increase in recent years? Are designers seeking this kind of thing, or do they want to find this, and when they find you, they're really excited about it?
Yeah, definitely. We have definitely been surprised with the positive response of people in the industry. Everyone from independent designers to big brands and journalists, you know, people like you that are interested in the process. And I mean, my father has been in this business for 40 years, and he says he's never felt more need to get this product out in the market, because there's just such a huge interest and support from people that we just want to, you know, be able to share it with everyone and hopefully manage to start a movement, you know, from the very beginning of the supply chain. Because I think us as manufacturers, we never thought we had the power to define what goes on in the industry. And as we began this project, we realized that we can also set the rules as to what should be produced and what shouldn't, and what materials should be used and which shouldn't, and what conditions the people that work with us should live in. And so it's really fascinating, because I think every day there is more need for transparency and ethical practices, and this allows us to set our own rules and tell brands, you know, we're gonna produce this and we're not gonna produce this, and not the other way around.
Yeah, that's really powerful and so rare to hear. So rare.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's just a matter of time until we will all be in the same place where it will just be the norm, you know, and not so rare to just offer sustainable materials and practices and social responsibility and all these things that really just should just be, you know, in the DNA of every manufacturer, of every brand, of every designer. But I think slowly we're getting there, and we definitely already feel, I mean, as you say, it's a type of power that we have to start shifting how everything works in this business.
So true. Well, you've collaborated with, you know, bigger brands like West Elm and Whole Foods. I mean, I feel like that's also something that really strikes a chord with me when you see larger brands coming to the table. So do you feel like these bigger companies are really starting to think about the concept of circular economy?
Yeah, definitely. When we started working with West Elm and Whole Foods, it was truly a magical process, because we noticed, you know, they appreciated so much the whole story behind our fabrics and our products, and they really put a lot of love into the collection, and it felt very personal, despite, you know, the fact that there are these huge brands. But it gave hope to us that maybe the world does want to get back to this place of individuality and learning exactly where everything you consume and everything that you buy, where it comes from, and make sure, you know, it's made in a responsible manner. And I think for these brands and for us, it's a powerful point into the critique of excessive consumption and waste and corporate irresponsibility and all the causes of environmental destruction. So it's a way of saying, you know, we're gonna start doing this and we're gonna do it together all the way, you know, from the very beginning up to the very end. We worked directly with them, and it was really magical, and it had an amazing response from the public as well. So it was a great surprise to all of us.
Yeah. Well, in thinking about the whole process, I was thinking a bit about the fact that you're manufacturing something so there's going to be waste involved with your own process as well. And I read the recent article that Amy DeFault wrote for the BFDA and kind of heard a bit about what you guys are doing as far as creative solutions to deal with your own waste. But can you kind of share more of that?
Yeah, of course. So one of the main challenges was, okay, we're using waste as our main raw material, but during our process, we also create waste. So if we really want to remain sustainable, we have to be creative as to what to do with our own waste. So the main waste we get is from our spinning process. So when we spin the denim waste and the cotton, we are left with leftover, which is basically, when you look at it, it looks like soil because it's all the seeds and the soil that comes from the dirty cotton that we buy from the other spinning facilities because it's their cotton waste and we are re-spinning it. So we're left with this, basically with all the seeds and the waste from this. So during our whole project, we found these partners, which are coffee farmers in Guatemala, and we started producing coffee sacks for them made out of denim instead of the jute or instead of the regular plastic bags that they use to export coffee. And we started speaking with them of possibilities of them using our waste from the spinning for their coffee plants. And we did some trials and it worked perfectly. So they mix this waste with their compost and they use it as organic fertilizer to grow their specialty coffee. So we managed to fully close, you know, our loop system. And yeah, that was definitely one to celebrate because we finally felt, you know, we were not only solving a negative, but we're creating a positive. Like, what could be better than have our waste used to grow the best coffee in the highlands of Guatemala? So it was really magical.
Wow, that's so incredible. And it's just like, those kinds of things to me are so interesting right now. Like, I always am really curious to learn more about projects that are totally redefining the systems, which is what you're doing. So I'm curious, from your perspective and with all the work you're doing in this space, what do you see on the horizon for the future of the textile industry?
I think the key to a sustainable textile industry and the circular economy is upcycling, because we found that imitating the process of nature and life, you know, as William McDonough from Cradle to Cradle, he says, life itself, it's eternal upcycling, where every material, every movement serves a purpose, you know, to the ecosystem surrounding it. And I think this is a system we must learn to imitate in every industry, you know, where the concept of waste is eliminated, where everything can serve a purpose and a beneficial purpose. You know, we need to stop thinking, how can I be less bad? We need to just say, okay, how can I do good? How can this process be beneficial to the community around me? How can this be beneficial to the land, to the water, to the environment that surrounds us? And I think this is the only way. It starts, you know, from the very beginning of the supply chain to the very end. So the farmer is equally as responsible as the manufacturer, as a brand, and as the final client who will choose what they buy. So it's a collective consciousness that we need to build together, where we all can make small shifts to cause the change that is needed in the industry. And, you know, the consumers need to ask the industry to give them a sustainable choice. And us as manufacturers, we have to, as I mentioned previously, we have to also know that we also have the power to decide what is being produced and how our team, what their quality of life is. And so it's just taking a conscious choice every day. And, you know, it's at the beginning, it's going to take a little bit of more effort and time, but I promise it's always worth it. In the end, it's just, you don't even think about it anymore. There is no other option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. There's something that keeps sticking out of my brain, like a question I have to ask, which is, you know, I'm curious about how many other textile manufacturers are thinking about upcycling, and is it even on like their radar? Because for me, I'm wondering, is it actually cheaper to be upcycling than using virgin resources? Because so often in this conversation, if you can explain it as it being actually cost effective down the line, you know, you think about architecture and how, you know, now it's easier to kind of pitch building with LEED certification involved because it's going to save money down the line. And so I feel like when that financial element comes in, it's so much easier for people to get on board when it comes to business. So is it cheaper if you're using upcycled textile waste versus virgin materials?
Yeah, and this was one of our main reasons why we started upcycling. It was cost effective for us during the time when cotton prices went up and we no longer were competitive in the market due to our high prices, you know, that came from using this virgin material. And so we definitely think upcycling is more cost effective than using virgin material. Right now, for us, it's a bit higher, the cost, because we have an extra step in the process, which is breaking down the fiber, the scraps, to turn it back into fiber. But we are every day finding ways to make it equal as in price as to conventional cotton, or cheaper, less expensive. But we definitely think as the more people get involved and the more the industry uses this process, the more cost efficient it will be. And so right now for us, it's like a 20% higher, maybe, the cost of upcycling denim instead of virgin material. But for example, our upcycled cotton is less expensive than conventional, but it's equal in quality. So this we already managed to make more cost effective than virgin resources. We're just trying to figure out the other type of upcycling, which comes from textile scraps. But we definitely think this is doable, and in the very near future, it will be more cost efficient. And as to your first question, if other manufacturers are doing this, a lot of textile manufacturers are reusing this type of textile waste, but as I mentioned previously, they only mix up to 20% of recycled material into the fibers. Maybe because they haven't put the effort into using more, or they believe it won't be possible to reach a certain quality in the yarn. So this is something we're trying to promote as an industry in Guatemala, to get together with other textile manufacturers and present ourselves as a nation of, you know, sustainable textiles, because it's such a powerful industry in the country, and we would love to, you know, as we said, this has to be a joint effort between all of us, and we should all be a big team in order to be able to cause a positive change and to have it be ready, you know, in not such a far future.
Absolutely. For sure. Well, there's one question that I always ask my guests. I'm always curious how you think that we as everyday people can make small shifts in our everyday lives to potentially impact larger change. So do you have any suggestions on what we can do to help push for bigger change?
Yeah, of course. One of the biggest powers lays in the end consumer. So we must do our research about conscious consumption. You know, I believe in owning a wardrobe that doesn't rely on trends, you know, because every day you get these bombardment of advertising that you need this, you need that, and suddenly, you know, you never like these tennis shoes and the next day you need them. So it's up to us, you know, as consumers to play a role in making these change and look at our labels and see where is it made, what is it made of, how is it made, who made it, what conditions are they living in, can I trace this, is there transparency, you know, in this t-shirt or in these shoes or in my jeans, you know. I mean, I think it's normal to think we cannot change the world through the clothes we buy, but the truth is this industry is so powerful and so many people don't know it. It's about, you know, taking small conscious choices every day and choose always responsible over conventional. So I think we need to go back to honoring the art of textiles and not see them as these disposable objects. You know, we need to go back to making them with the love and the craft they deserve, and also consuming them with consciousness and take time to think, you know, the people and the skills and time and the natural elements that are involved in the process of making that garment. I think it's everyone's job to communicate this, because if no one is talking about it, nothing is going to change. So first of all, I thank you for letting us share our vision and so many other people's visions and goals into, you know, turning the power of this industry one for good, and finally managed to shift it back to where it should be. I do hope we can reach a point where ethical and sustainable production is the norm, and that these conversations will be, you know, not necessary anymore. It'll just be in our instinct.
100%. Yes, I so agree with that. Well, Ariane, thank you so much for joining me. It's really fun to learn more about what the New Denim Project is up to. And I know listeners are going to love this, because what you're doing is really inspiring and something that I feel like a lot of us are searching for more and more are companies like what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Kestrel. It's been really an honor. And I hope people, if they have any doubts, they can reach out. And yeah, together, I think we can move the industry into a great place. So thank you so much.
I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of the time, reused fashion gets somewhat of a bad rep, as if it's less than, or not as fresh and new. As you probably know by now, I myself do not prescribe to this thought process. But next week's guest is a young designer who is absolutely shattering these assumptions. She makes stunning, one-of-a-kind, upcycled jackets. and has attracted press from fashion folks like Vogue and W Magazine. Until then, cheers to all you change makers out there. Thanks for listening.